his face. I know the years are showing, and look at this life. I still don't know where it's going. I don't know much, but I know how I love you. And that may be all I need to know. Look at these eyes. They never seen what mattered. Look at these dreams, so beaten and so battered. I don't know much, but I know I love you. Yes, and that may be all I need to know. Many questions still left unanswered. So much I've never broken through. But when I feel you near me, sometimes I see so clearly the only truth I've ever known is loving you. Look at this man, so blessed with inspiration. And look at this soul, still searching for salvation. I don't know much, but I know how I love you.
Hi, this is Darling Love, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. And we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
Hi, this is Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. I'm that lucky, oh son, ain't got nothing to do but roll around heaven. fuss with my woman, and I toil with my kids, work till I'm wrinkled, wrinkled and gray. Wow, that lucky nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. I got tears in my eyes,
send down that
cloud. I want you to lift me, I want you to lift me to paradise. Wash all my troubles, I want you to wash my troubles away. And like that lucky son, I'll have nothing to do.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show. And it's my pleasure to have as my guest, singer, songwriter, Grammy winner, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, soul and R&B legend, Mr. Bill Medley. How are you, Bill?
No, I'm fine. How are you? How's everything out there?
Everything is great. The weather is great. And, you know, we had a daughter that lived out in Newport Beach for a long time. And my friends that live out there, they always say that I'm here on the best coast.
Yeah.
Not the west coast.
Not bad.
Yeah. Now, you were born in Santa Ana, California, right?
Yeah. Santa Ana is about 10 miles from Newport Beach, down in Orange County.
Right. And growing up, did you have music in your family?
Yeah, my mom and dad had a band. My dad's from Texas. My mom was born and raised in L.A., but she moved to Texas when my mom and dad got married, and they had a little band. My mom played piano and sang, and my dad played sax.
Right. Well, you know, it's good to have that in your family because it gives you, you know, a real basis and you start learning early. And, you know, doing my research, like me, I found that your ear found those black R&B stations. I know when I was a kid, my mother threw that little transistor in my little youth bed and my little ear found Frankie Crocker and Hal Jackson and all of the stations at the end of the dial, you know, the BLS and the WWRL. And the way I understand that you had that same experience.
Yeah, there was a great little station out of L.A. And Orange County was about 40 miles away from L.A. And there was a KGFJ, Hunter Hancock, was up in L.A. all black station. And
right.
Boy, I was just obsessed with rhythm and blues and all those great black artists from the 50s. Boy, changed my life, I'll tell you what.
I understand what you mean. And, you know, I kind of gravitated to the harmony groups. And when I was about 11 or 12, I didn't know how the words got in there, but I knew the words to all the Harp Tones tunes and the Nutmegs tunes. And I'm,
sure.
You know, and I look back and I said, well, you know, I guess I figured it out. Now, when did you realize that you could get up and sing a good song? I would imagine that you were singing in high school or maybe even singing on the corner.
Well, I was always sang in church choirs and school choirs and loved to sing. And oddly enough, I was the first tenor until I was about 16 or 15. And but I really... You know, I certainly never dreamed of being an artist or, and then when I was about 18 or 19, I just started, you know, there was a piano in the house and I sat down, taught myself how to play piano and just started writing songs and, wrote a song called Little Latin Loopy Loo. And,
right. I know the song.
and Bobby and I recorded it and we were off and running.
Talking about my baby, little Latin loopy loo. She's a hard-foot baby. There ain't no dance she couldn't do. She's my groovy little baby, yeah. Little Latin loopy loo.
I know it's a tough, hard business. I've done everything but have a hit. I had a group that was the entertainment at the White House Christmas party in 98 for the Clintons. It was called Harmony Street, the group, and it was very Manhattan Transfer-ish. But you know how tough it is. Now, your first group, I think, was the Romancers, and then you went on to the Paramours. Now, the Paramours was a band, right?
Yeah, there she goes.
band, but it started as a vocal group, and right. then we all kind of learned how to play instruments. But we were some kind of a doo-wop group.
And oh, cool.
Bobby Hatfield was a great, great, great doo-wop singer. One
wow.
of the best doo-wop singers I'd ever heard. And he more was coming from that end of the industry, and I was kind of coming from, Bobby Blue Bland and Ray Charles
right.
and B.B. King.
Right, right,
know.
Right.
Surrender to your lips. surrender to your heart. Yeah, I surrender to your heart. I surrender to your heart. Yes, I do.
How did you actually meet Bobby? I know people want to know and they think they know, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, we were both raised in Orange County. Bobby was from Anaheim, and where Disneyland is, and I was from Santa Ana. And he had a little rock and roll band, which was kind of unusual in those days, you know, because it was right at the beginning kind of rock and roll. And I had my little rock and roll group, the Paramours, and then a mutual friend of ours, John Wimber, who had been working in Las Vegas a lot and was kind of burnt out on work in Vegas and wanted to come back to Orange County and put together a group that he thought could, work continuously.
Right.
So he took Bobby and Bobby's drummer and myself and my guitar player and put us all together. And the minute Bobby and I, you know, were in the same group, we started doing all these great duets that we had learned in the,
right,
you know, by listening to Hunter Hancock, and it was just magical. I mean, it was magical from the first moment.
I can imagine, because I mean, many have gone before you and many have gone after you, and that blend, for some reason, just was, you know, the universe said, okay, this is going to be it. The soul R&B duo. You know, the fact that you're part of Americana now, and that's really a big, big responsibility, you know, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, but you guys are everybody's hero. I'm very friendly, of course, with Darlene. I'm friendly with Lala. Most of the people that were around Phil Spector, Ronnie Spector lived down the block from me in Danbury, Connecticut, you know, and I know that story. How was it working with Phil?
Actually, you know, Bobby and I found it pretty simple. I mean, a couple of times we had to put our foot down and say, you know, enough of the nonsense. Let's just get this done. But we were pretty cautious of going with Phil, not because of his reputation, but because he mainly did all these great girl groups,
right,
and we didn't know how he would fare up, you know, with a guy, but he was so successful and so good, we thought, what do we have to lose, you know?
Listen, they're still fighting with each other as to who sang what and when. I mean, you probably know that. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, but hey, it is what it is.
Hi, this is Lala Brooks of the Crystals, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Now, I have to ask you this. You've lost that loving feeling. I mean, I've sung it myself with other people and whatever. Did you realize what you had when you walked out of the studio that day? I mean, did you have any concept of what you had created?
No, you know, not at all. I mean, we knew that it was a great record and it was a great song. That was kind of undeniable, you
right.
know. And, but the truth is, you know, in 64 and 65, the song was way too long. It was, you know, almost twice as long as it was supposed to be.
Right.
And I sounded like I was on the wrong speed. So, there was a million reasons why it shouldn't have been a hit, but I think all the reasons that it shouldn't have been a hit kind of made it a bigger hit.
You never close your anymore when I kiss your lips, and there's no tenderness like the pour in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, I
like you used to do, like you used to do, baby.
We had a love you don't find every day.
Oh no, baby.
So don't let it slip away.
Don't let it get away, baby.
I read it was the most played song in radio history, and I believe that to be true. I mean, you know, and then of course, the Righteous Brothers changed record labels a couple of times. I know Soul and Inspiration was on Verve Records.
Uh-huh.
But what's interesting is, and I'm a guitar player and an arranger myself, is that you really didn't lose a beat as far as the arranging and the instrumentation and everything else. You managed with different production to capture that sound that you had originally. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. I mean, I produced Soul and Inspiration, and all I did is, because Soul and Inspiration was supposed to follow up Love and Feeling.
Right.
But Phil got in an argument with Barry Mann and Cynthia.
All right.
And so Carole King wrote Just Once in My Life for us. But, you know, I was in the studio watching Phil produce Love and Feeling. So
right.
when we left and I told Barry Mann and Cynthia that to finish writing Soul and Inspiration, I just kind of did what I knew Phil would have done on
cool,
that
cool.
song.
You said, I got this.
yeah, I'll take it.
make it without you. And I'm telling you, honey, you're my reason for laughing, for crying, for living, and for dying.
And then, of course, during all the time that you were with Bobby and doing shows, you know, you also had your solo career. So if I'm right, in 68, you broke up for a solo career, did the Vegas thing, which I might have even seen you out in Vegas. But in 1974, you reformed and you actually went with Haven Records. Yeah. And you actually recorded and were produced by probably one of my best friends, Dennis Lambert, who I spoke to.
Dennis.
I spoke to Dennis last night, and I told him that I was going to be talking to you today, and he flipped out. He said, you know, I produced Rock and Roll Heaven and the entire album with them. I love him. I love Bobby. He's one of the sweetest, nicest guys I've ever met. I need to talk to him. So when we're through with this off the mic, I would love to hook you and Dennis up because he really would love to talk to you.
I'd love to talk to him. I saw him about 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
We're both friends with Connie Stevens. And,
right.
He was at her house. And listen, Lambert and Potter were just the sweetest guys. The great, and boy, what talents. I mean, Dennis is a brilliant songwriter, singer,
right.
He's just, it was so easy to work with them. It was the easiest job I ever had.
Hi, this is Dennis Lambert, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
He wrote almost everything. I mean, when you look around, and he also wrote things in different genres. Ka-chink, ka-chink, Comcast Xfinity is running We Built This City. Ka-chink, ka-chink. You know. Which is really interesting. As a matter of fact, I introduced Dennis to John Lloyd Young, who starred as Frankie in the Jersey Boys movie. He's a friend of mine and got the Grammy. And, you know, he lives out by you, as a matter of fact. And we're kind of consultants for him. He doesn't know whether he wants to be an actor or singer. He's a pretty good singer, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that. So here you go again, number one record, and everybody is listening to the Righteous Brothers on the radio. And then there's in 81, reunited with Bobby at the 30th anniversary American Bandstand situation. It's amazing how you guys kept finding each other. I guess there was that pull to keep doing it.
You remember a song called Rock and Roll Heaven? It was recorded several years ago by the Righteous Brothers. Now, Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield are pursuing their individual careers, but we asked them if they'd get together tonight just one more time to pay tribute to the rock and roll immortals. Ladies and gentlemen, the Righteous Brothers.
There's a rock and roll.
Easy and so good and so much fun, with Bobby and duos are like a marriage. It's real tough. I don't know any duets that have stayed together. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's very tough because both of you are probably pretty strong personalities,
right.
and you both have different artistic ways you want to go and this and that. So it's very tough. So I think Bobby and I were just always searching to fulfill what we, you know, what we felt in our heart,
right,
that we wanted to do.
I do understand that it's hard enough with a group, you know, with four or five guys. But then what I think is that when you reach that level where everyone wants to know you and everyone wants to touch you and everybody plays your records, and I don't know anybody that didn't have all the Righteous Brothers tunes in their jukebox or in their playlist. As I say, and not to blow your head up, but the Righteous Brothers became part of Americana, and not too many people can say that.
For your love,
actually missed you at the Hard Rock when you were here recently because we have other obligations, and you know, I'm pretty plugged in down here in Florida, and I was actually speaking to Tim. I actually work with a producer who does about 50-60 shows a year, you know, doo-wop R&B and a lot of big names, and we would love to get you down to Florida. So I want to talk to Tim about that, but that's another subject. Tell me about Elvis.
I understand he was a good boy.
Yeah,
I think he did pretty good, that kid.
Oh, How many hours do you want?
Oh, okay. I don't have to have them. Okay.
Just hold it up on the top of your
tongue.
That's good.
I got some. I'm all shook up.
Everybody's entitled to one stupid ass mistake.
You should have one in there, man. Should have one in there that you can use.
Well, Elvis was a good friend of the Wright brothers. I mean, even when we were having hits with Little At Moopy Lou and My Babe and all the early rock and roll stuff, he was living out there in L.A. And he would come and see us a few times, and that's kind of when Elvis, you know, nobody saw Elvis, and he was kind of the Howard Hughes of rock and roll. And,
right.
And then when I left the brothers in 68, I started working at the Hilton in Las Vegas.
Right.
And I think Elvis probably got me that job. I don't know, because every time he was there, I was there. Of course, I was in the lounge, which seated about 600 people, which was amazing. Yeah. But he just became a real, real good friend and very sad. He left us way too early.
Yes, I do know that. And I know, you know, talking to Darlene as many times as I have, and I've interviewed her, and I've been on the radio with her, and I've been in shows with her over the years, and I know that I think the Blossoms were backing Elvis at one time for a short period of time. I'm not, you know, if my memory serves me. But I don't know.
Yeah.
They backed up so many people. I mean, they were on That's Life with Frank Sinatra. They were on Johnny Angel. They were on, I mean, they were everywhere.
Yeah, they were really the go-to group, you know, recording-wise.
Right.
And, of course, we met them on Shindig. We were doing Shindig.
Right, right, right.
And we all became very very close,
right.
And I just always knew, I mean, Darlene Love just has one of the most commercial, greatest voices in the world.
You bet she does.
Write me a letter,
send
me a line, make me feel.
Still remember.
Letterman liked her, you know, and Schaefer. Yeah. They, if it wasn't for Letterman and Paul Schaefer, boy, they lifted her all the way up. I really feel that her entry into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was through that little powerhouse nucleus, you know, because Terry Stewart is a very good friend of mine. When my group, Harmony Street, went into the White House, he saw us on Fox News and he invited us to New Year's at his house, and I became very friendly. So I had a lot of the inside track to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at that time.
Yeah.
It was a great experience, and he was a great guy. Let's speed up to 1987, Dirty Dancing. I had the time of my life, and here is Bill Medley again, you know, bing bang, number one. I mean, you know, this was getting to be a habit.
Well, a pretty good habit.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe.
So long now, I finally found someone to stand by me.
We saw the writing on the wall, and we felt this magical fantasy.
Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise the secret me. So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand. Just remember,
you're the one thing
I can't give up.
So I tell you something,
it's gonna be love, because I had the time of my life. I never and I hope it'll keep you.
I it's just remarkable the career that I've had and the Righteous Brothers have had. But it, I actually turned down I've Had the Time of My Life for about 3 months because my wife was expecting our daughter.
Wow.
And I promised her I'd be home. They wanted me to go to New York to record.
Right.
I said, I can't go. And thank God they stayed on me and they said, listen, Jennifer Warnes wants to sing the song if she can sing it with you. And
wow.
So I really wanted to sing with Jennifer. And so who knew that movie was going to do what it did? And so we basically just sang the song to work together.
Wow.
And then it just exploded.
Wow, unbelievable. But, you know, without being modest, you had that voice. There are still little old Jewish guys in Century Village that will stand there and argue with me and tell me that Medley is black. I have this thing that I say that if you come to Florida and you stay there, you know, as you approach 85, no matter what ethnicity you are, you start shrinking and speaking Yiddish.
Yeah.
So you went to Branson and performed with your daughter, McKenna, which I know she was in England with you, I think.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
She came to England with me, and boy, people just loved her. And she's just a great girl and a really good singer. And, you know, tough business today.
It's a terrible business. I mean, you know, down in Florida, you know, they told me when you move down here, you're going to see they're going to be patting you on the back with one hand. With the other hand, they're going to be punching you in the ribs. It's really crazy down here.
It's pretty tough everywhere.
Yeah, I know. And then you did a lot of TV. You were on the finale of Cheers.
Well, I don't know if it was the finale, but I did Cheers, which was so much fun, such great writing, and the cast on that show was so sweet and so sweet to me, and it was you know, a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I told him the biggest secret of my life.
What?
I told him about You've Lost That Love and Feeling by the Righteous Brothers, and what that song does to him. Right? You know what he did?
What?
He called this radio station he owns, and he had them play it all night.
I heard that. I thought that was the long version.
Anyway, all I know is it was the best evening of my entire life.
Well, enjoy it while you can.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, honey, am I going to have to explain men and women to you all over again?
If she doesn't want to hear it, Sammy, we do.
Honey, a guy like Colcord, all you are to him is a conquest and a challenge. And now that he's had his fun, you'll be lucky if you get a hello and a donut.
Really?
Yeah, really. Can I help you?
Yeah, Rebecca Howe.
Hey.
Rebecca, this is from Robin Colcord. You never close your eyes.
It's Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers. I mean, I knew Robin, knew him, and I hoped that one day I would meet him, but I never knew that he would fly him all the way to Boston to sing this song to me. It's Bill Medley.
Excuse me. Would you knock it off? Somebody in the bar might want to hear this. You've lost that love and feeling.
You know, and I always said to myself, because something that you said at the beginning, you said, I used to be a tenor. I listen a lot, you know, I'm pretty much of a musicologist. If you listen throughout the Righteous Brothers and you listen to Bill Medley, you have the ability to get up there into that range. But, you know, you sit down in the baritone range pretty much. I don't know whether it's because it's comfortable, but when you feel like getting up on your toes, you can get up there.
Well, you know, when I, you know, was first turned on to rock and roll and, you know, the doo-wop and the this and
right.
the that, I was the first tenor. I mean, the platters and all that stuff. I could sing all that stuff. So that's what I was raised on, and that's what I what I used to sing. So I still have that, I don't know, I still have that part of my voice in my heart, you know.
No, I hear you. What is your favorite tune to sing on stage?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. They're all like us. They're all like our children, you know.
I know that.
you know, as great as Love and Feeling is, and boy, it's really fun to sing on stage. But there, the song that followed Love and Feeling, Just Once in My Life,
right,
Carole King wrote,
right,
Carole and Jerry, is just a remarkably great song.
Right.
And a lot of fun to sing.
There's a lot of things I want, a lot of things that I'd like to be. But girl, I don't go see a rags to riches story for me. There's just one little dream I've got to make come true. There's just one round I've got.
You know, Dennis Lambert and Brian Potter, they wrote a song called Dream On,
right,
for the Righteous Brothers, and it should have been the follow-up to Rock and Roll Heaven, but the distributors wanted to release some other song that was on the label or on that album, but Dream On was always the most fun for us to sang.
I want to go to a certain place, if you don't mind, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. You know, people loved Bobby because, you know, you guys together actually appeared in everybody's living room when they played those songs. And people loved those songs. You know, and you feel it when you're doing a concert. You feel the love, and you know what people say to you when you're walking around in Vegas, and they say, "Oh my God, it's Bill Medley," and they just want to talk. And tell me about Bobby. It must have been such a heartfelt loss, like your brother leaving us. But the talk was that he had some demons to deal with, and you know, maybe the demons won. How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I know that there was some cocaine or something found in his system.
Right.
He obviously was doing some,
right.
But he certainly wasn't doing it to party.
Right.
I think he was self-medicating himself because
right.
he was really out of shape and smoked and drank and all that. And so... but losing him was, you know, just devastating. And it was real interesting because It didn't dawn on me until about a couple of years after Bobby passed that, because there was like a hole in me and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
But I realized that when Bobby died, the Righteous Brothers died.
Yeah.
Because we had always been able to go back together or go try this by ourselves or that. And now it was done.
Right.
And that was real tough. But Bobby was one of the great, great, great singers of the world.
Absolutely.
Very hard to lose him.
Right. I know. Well, you know, and when you go on after that, you know, if you're singing with somebody else, they point to that person and the person doesn't have a name. The person is known as not Bobby. And it's very tough. I know because I've seen groups now, you know, Janie Americans have had three J's and they have a new J now and the kid is really good. But for a long time, you know, it was like, well, you're not the guy, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about today, I mean, when Bobby and I were real hot in the 60s, you know, they wanted to see Bob and Bill. They wanted, boy, I love those guys. I want to go see them. And they're going to, well, today, they really want to hear the songs as much as, if maybe more than even seeing the guys.
Right.
It's more about the music that they were raised on and this
right.
and that. So it's totally, I think that's why tribute bands are doing so well.
Right.
It really, I mean, it matters that it's not the original guy, but in reality, to most people, it's okay if they do the songs real well. And so it's a whole different thing now.
Yeah, I know. And my dream is that each generation after will appreciate who set that pattern for them. I would imagine too that you rang all the bells, because I'm sure you were not on only the Shindig and the American Bandstand. I'm sure, I don't know for positive, but I'm sure you were on Soul Train as well.
Well, you know what? No, we never did Soul Train.
Ah.
We wanted to, but
interesting.
Very interesting. We never got the opportunity to do it, and Righteous Brothers never went to Europe.
Wow!
And because we just, every time we get ready to go, we broke up.
Wow. But they did knock off your albums in Japan, that I know. So
sure.
You did make it in that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they know about us. That's for sure.
Now, Will Ferrell's father was your musical director? How does that work?
Yeah, Lee Ferrell, Will's dad, and I have been close friends for,
wow,
I don't know, since about 62, and
wow,
you know, I've watched Will grow up, and it's very cool to see somebody do that well, that, you know, and he's such a great guy. He's a wonderful guy.
Really talented. Now, you have a new book out?
Yeah, finally wrote a book. Kind of didn't want to, but I got my arm twisted, and I wrote a book, and it did okay. It did good enough.
Now, where can people get the book if they want the book?
Well, Amazon and I guess all that stuff.
Right.
You know, I kind of don't keep up with it. I guess I should. Barnes and Noble. And
the title of the book is?
The Time of My Life.
Right, which is a very appropriate title. I know through the grapevine, and I knew that you're doing a new Righteous Brothers show. And
yeah, I found a kid that just is a great singer. And when we first started singing, I said, listen, I don't want you to sound like Bobby. I just want you to sing like Bobby.
Wow.
If you try and sound like Bobby, you know, the audience and the people are going to smell that, and it's going to be, you know, they're not going to like it. They're not going to dig that. So just sing those songs and sing the songs with me. And so it's really been fun. It's really been a lot of fun to go back and do all those songs.
And what is his name?
His name is Bucky Hurd.
Right. Okay. And, Now, I understand that you're working in Vegas now. And when I heard that, I didn't know whether that was a long-term contract with which a lot of guys sign, where you're there for a year and a half and you can't get out, or whether that was a short thing.
Well, no, it's a matter of fact, they're just coming after us to sign 30 more weeks.
Right.
We're at Harrah's in Las Vegas, and we work every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right.
And it kind of keeps me out of airports.
Right.
Anyway, I can drive back and forth from Orange County, and
wow.
And so it's kind of fun. It's really been really great.
Right. Now, I am going to be very proactive, and I'm going to try to get you to Florida and a few other places, if you don't mind, because I'm going to talk to Tim, because I think that the baby boomers down here would absolutely eat you up and kiss your face to know that the Righteous Brothers were back for real doing the Righteous Brothers, because this is what they live and die for down here, is their music. It takes them back to those days, and it's the baby boomers down here. So I'm going to speak to Tim, and I have the person that I work with, as I say, let me ask you this. What would you say to Bill Medley fans who became your fans way back in the early 60s, hung in there with you, with Bobby, and continue to be a Bill Medley fan to this day and hang on your records? What would you say to those people at this point?
Well, I would just thank them. Every night on stage, I thank, on behalf of Bobby Hatfield and myself, I thank the audience for giving us such an incredible, wonderful life. And that's what I would still tell everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, Bobby and I were just a couple of real normal, just a couple of Orange County guys that loved rhythm and blues and sang it and got lucky with Little Atnoopy Lou. And because in those days, you know, when we first started recording, it wasn't a commercial thing to do for two white guys to sound black.
Right.
Because black stations couldn't play and white stations wouldn't play. But we fell through the crack, and thank God, you know, we came to Blue Eyed Soul Brothers and all that. And, so I would just tell my, you know, fans and friends that thank you. And thank you for putting up with all of my nonsense and the Righteous Brothers nonsense of breaking up and going back and this and that. Thanks for hanging in with us.
Well, everybody that I talked to, including Mary Wilson, and, you know, Mary Wilson did a show down here recently in Florida, actually stopped in the middle of the show. I was sitting in the front row and said, "Hey, it's Mike and Paulette Miller. You know, how you doing, guys?" Started having a conversation, whatever, when it said, "Well, I got to go back and sing," whatever. And I've been lucky enough to be on stage with a whole bunch of good people, and I've been doing the show 8 years now, and have been thrilled to have peeked a little further into the lives of a lot of the stars of the business, and it's been a great thing. What was the funniest thing that ever happened to you in the Righteous Brothers?
The funniest thing?
Yeah, the funniest thing. Anything that stands out in your head.
There was a million things. I mean, splitting my pants on stage and just not a million things. I mean, especially in the 60s with girls trying to get a hunk of your hair and clothes torn off. And one of the funniest things was we were leaving one of the auditoriums and the girls and guys were chasing us and this and that. And we got kind of mobbed and they threw us in the limo and we took off, and I looked around and I said, "Where's Bobby?"
He was being devoured.
he was still back in the crowd.
Wow.
So we had to go back and rescue him. But you know, there's been a million moments. you know.
Oh, I can imagine.
Ones.
Now, you worked with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, if I got that right.
Yeah, we went on the first American Beatle tour and the first Rolling Stones tour. And I think, you know, our first albums before Love and Feeling, kind of gotten, you know, to some of the, a lot of the musicians, kind of an underground thing, and they, because we said, well, why did the Beatles and Stones want us to open for them? Well, they heard all those, the first couple of albums and
right.
were fans.
Well, you know, and I heard a little funny story about Tom Jones in Vegas where you were sitting in the front row and he didn't introduce you and he sang your song. Because my wife dated him, by the way, years ago. My wife was Miss Maryland, Miss USA, and the runner-up in the Miss World contest. And she traveled
wow.
in certain circles, Paulette. And, you know, she knew Tom Jones in the old days, and she actually said no to him.
Not good.
Because we saw him recently at the Kravis Center. And that was funny, you know. He had just, I think he had just had heavy lipo, and he wasn't moving
as
fast. What happened that night? Tom sang your song, and you were sitting in the front row, and he didn't say, "Hey, you know, here's Bill Medley. I'm singing his song."
No, I don't. I'm not even sure he knew I was there. Or didn't recognize me. But it's always a compliment when people sing your songs. And Elvis Presley used to sing, you know, Love and Feeling.
Right.
In every show. And it's a real compliment. And Tom Jones and Elvis, you know, did a great job with that stuff.
I know.
I'm just thrilled to death that I'm still out here doing it, you know, at the age of 75. And I love looking out into the audience and, you go into Love and Feeling or Unchained Melody, some of that stuff, and they just start holding hands and hugging each other. You
right.
know, there's just nothing better than that. Nothing in the world.
I hear you. Well, you know, I'm not just doing this show, but I'm also a fan. Bill, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Thank you for spending this time with me. And as I say, I'm a fan and always have been. And thanks for doing the show. And I wish you many, many more years of carrying on the tradition of the Righteous Brothers. And I hope that the new situation just flies and everyone gets to hear the Righteous Brothers again this time around. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and hopefully I'll see you in Florida soon.
Absolutely. I'm going to get you here. I think the Righteous Brothers would just be marvelous in Florida. Marvelous.
Well, we would love to do it, man.
Okay.
We'd love to come down.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Keep
ain't heavy is my brother. If I'm leaving at all, I'll just leave with sadness at everyone's cause. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. And while we're on our way to there, why not share?
In my room. Now it's dark and I'm alone, but I won't be afraid.
Sunshine, look at me, and baby, all you see are my blue eyes. I'm not a man, baby, all I am is what I symbolize. Down out, woman,
stay away, baby.
Down out, woman,
stay away, baby.
Down out, woman,
stay away, baby.
I could love you so. I could love you so.
No, no.
Brown-eyed woman, I could love you so.
No, no.
All of the years, all the hate and the fears have twisted your heart. Now you turn away, you won't trust what I say, and it's tearing me apart. Brown-eyed woman,
stay away, baby.
Brown-eyed woman,
stay away, baby.
I could love you so.
No, no.
Brown-eyed woman, I could love you so.
No,
yes,
no,
yes.
No,
I'm holding out my hand to you.
Ooh.
Darling, tell me. Tell me, please, what more can I do, brown-eyed woman? Brown-eyed woman,
stay away, baby.
I want you, I need you.
Stay away, baby.
I'm holding out my hand.
Stay away, baby.
I don't want to stay away, no.
Stay away, baby.
Please, please.
One day, what did I find? Holes in my pockets, memories on my mind. So many things I've lost on the way, but most of all you. Pennies and dreams, carelessly spent. Pieces of time, and who knows where they went. Is there a chance to pick up the pieces and try for it all again? Sometimes you're just so busy running, running round in circles, you never see you're going nowhere. Sometimes you get so tired chasing, chasing after rainbows. You look around your life and find no one's there. No one's there.
time. Everyone sees they may have missed the forest for the trees. How could I let the best things go by and most of all you? Somehow you always knew there'd come a day I'd put my toys away. I was a fool traveling so far,
now, 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 we got to go ahead and plan. Watching the city lights go out, knowing that soon you will be on your way,
holding you closer to me now, wishing that somehow, oh, I could stay.
These disturbing moments you all have to show.
Should we believe this magic
when baby we both know we're playing a dangerous game, burning a secret flame, leading in shadows, ignoring the signs that we're loving on borrowed time. Memory lingers on, so tender the loving you gave to me.
Something's alright, just can't be wrong. Something this heart of mine just can't believe.
Heads be sore to snowing, you'll be within.
Our hearts must act like strangers
when they both go deep inside. We're playing a dangerous game, we're burning the secret flame, meeting in shadows, ignoring the signs that we're loving on borrowed time. Believe this
and oh, you. You're the one. Made for me.
Every day I have to do this. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street,
ooh,
there was a place
we
that we used to go,
ooh,
when we were feeling down
and
we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear.
Harmony Street.
Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Nothing I could do,
nothing
to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.